No wonder I was turning. I was turning the wrong dial. Hey, you guys get a little more music than you normally get, so I guess that's something. Yeah, it helps if I turn the right dial. Hey everybody, my name. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax. I am here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
And boy, we have some content for you, because there was an article published, one of a series, I would call it a series of articles, that have been published about Michael and me in our state newsletter. Mm-hmm. And the state president wrote a newsletter article about us. That's the one that prompted the democratization of information, mm-hmm. where basically said that we need to just shut the fuck up, yep. and not talk about the issues that are happening in our branch, not bring mm-hmm. it to people's attention. And they always make sideways references to the podcast, but they're never, you know, decent enough to call it Classes of Mail, those bastards. Mm-hmm. So here we are on Classes of Mail, and we're going to talk about it.
Well, I'm sorry. Does the union, do we supposed to speak out and talk about a lot of things?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying that's our union, so.
It is, and that's part of our duty as union members is to talk assemble. About yeah, that's right.
Our union.
Yep, it certainly is. And we have an obligation to try to see to it that the bylaws are upheld and that, you know, that our union is doing the right thing by its members. And that's the issue here, right? And mm-hmm. we've had other people write, certainly our branch president has mentioned us a couple of times, and that, you know, one of the things they like to say is that we spread misinformation. But yet somehow, they never point to the misinformation.
Yeah.
What the misinformation is.
If there is any misinformation, you know, they should mention like what we're not saying correctly.
Yeah. Let us know. We'll correct it.
And then for us, if we know we were wrong, we're going to admit to it that we're wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we're going to correct it.
We'll correct it.
Yep, absolutely.
But they're not mentioning anything that we're saying is wrong, so how can it be misinformation and we don't know?
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. And I would go a step further and say that on the other end of it, when mm-hmm. we say, you know, when we say this information, we give the actual bylaw that's referenced. We give direct quotes.
Or something from the newsletter or whatever. Yeah, that we're actually giving you what we found before presenting it.
And so,
you know what's funny about that?
What's that?
I was listening to Corey Wong.
Eight arbitration.
And he talks about how he doesn't put anything on there unless he has proof of something.
Yeah,
there that's
you
all
go.
We do here, too.
You know, I don't feel like we're telling tales out of school.
No.
I feel like we're doing responsible work here.
Yeah, well, we're like being stewards, where we present the information with the proof of where we got the information from.
Right, exactly. You know, we have an obligation to source our information. And so with that in mind, we might as well get into why we're here today.
Yeah.
Because there was an article written about us in the newsletter.
Yeah. Now, this newsletter supposedly is our state newsletter.
Yeah, the Nevada Letter Carrier. Yeah. It is the official publication of the Nevada State Association of Letter Carriers. Mm-hmm. But it serves as our de facto branch publication. That's actually going to come into play when we get into this article.
Yeah.
Yeah. And first I want to read.
And this is the reason why we said that it wasn't presented correctly for our nomination. And is the
reason we'll get
why
to that when
to
it gets brought up in the article.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but first I want to read from the inside cover. This would be page 2. The front cover is page 1. There is a bunch of stuff in here about like the union officers' names and addresses and you know, a bunch of information, stuff like that. But there's also this little box in the top left that talks about how the newsletter is published and so on. And it reads, quote, "Permission is granted to reprint any part as long as proper credit is given," end quote. So
the proper credit we want to give, the article that we want to read, is our secretary, Jerry Payne.
Yeah, so first, this is the Nevada Letter Carrier. That's mm-hmm. what I'm reading from, right? Mm-hmm. So proper credit there. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get to the article that mm-hmm. we want to read. And yeah, on the byline, it says, because we got to give proper credit, mm-hmm. it is written by Jerry Penn, Branch 2502 Secretary.
Yep.
Okay, so
and we're not defaming him or nothing.
Dude, well, that's the point, right? We want to give good information.
We just want to get
so we're going to read exactly what's
and
written.
And our opinion.
And our opinions about what's written. Yeah, settle in. Uh-huh. We may have opinions.
Yeah, we may have our opinions. So if you don't like the opinions, then you can turn it off our
podcast. Of course. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. It begins. I would first like to thank Mickey for allowing me to respond to last month's article from...
Mickey is our state president.
Yeah, the state president, which I saw in the front here that he's been the state president since 2003. Wow. It's a good run, 22 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a hell of a run. Okay, so I would first like to thank Mickey for allowing me to respond to last month's article from Leslie Hammett's airing some of the dirty laundry from Branch 2502. First, Leslie Hammett is a supporter of Michael and me. She's been a phenomenal instructor, leader, resource. She's fantastic. And she's been on Class as a Male before, mm-hmm. talking about some of the election improprieties and also giving advice on, I think, injuries or something like that.
Now, she came from Texas mm-hmm. as a steward and arbitrator advocate in Texas.
Now,
and
then
she moved to Las Vegas. So she has a lot of knowledge that
her
union
knowledge
hall
is fantastic.
Yeah. Our branch is not using.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. And then she was a TRAP person for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, and then at the end he says, Leslie's airing some of the dirty laundry from Branch 2502. So this is good. This is a good start because mm-hmm. he acknowledges, you know, again, the author of this article, Jerry Penn, mm-hmm. acknowledges that there's dirty laundry mm-hmm. in our branch.
Yeah.
There definitely is.
Which I agree with.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Mm-hmm. All right, so far so good. Mm-hmm. Looks like we're all in agreement.
Yep.
He goes on. First, I would point out that Sister Hammett is in sympathy with the team that lost the election and has only since the election returned to attending the meetings. Well, I agree that she is in sympathy with us. There's no question about that. She's been an ardent supporter of us. But more important than that, she's in sympathy with the bylaws, with the NALC Constitution, and she can see the same things that we see, that these things are not being abided by. They're not being respected.
And you know what the main thing is that she always tells?
What's that?
Is fighting for carriers.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. she is a tireless fighter for carriers. And I don't know what her attendance record was before the election. I couldn't tell you. I don't pay attention.
She made most of the conventions and most conventions. So she was at the most of the meetings. So
well,
I don't know
go.
What attendance that he's
talking
I
don't know
about.
Either. But she retired.
Except that she was gone for about a year because of her health.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely had health issues. Yep. So, anyway, he goes on. So it is not a surprise that she would be critical of our branch. Well, there's a number of reasons why that might not be a surprise.
Which we've talked about many
yes,
times.
Yes, of course we have.
Yeah.
My experience has been over the last 30 years as an officer in Branch 2502. Man, that's a long time to be an officer.
Maybe think retirement?
Well, I'd say try reading the Bible.
Maybe you should let the young people run the branch for once?
Maybe. So my experience has been over the last 30 years as an officer in Branch 2502 that those that lose an election like to criticize and throw darts at those that won. Okay.
Now, losing the election. I have no problem losing the election as long as it was done fairly.
Well, and we know that there were a lot of improprieties mm-hmm. in the election. Now, if the election were run fairly, that's no guarantee that we would have won.
Mm-hmm.
We may still have lost the election.
Yes.
We don't know because the election wasn't run fairly.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that's going to continue to come up in this article where the people that lose like to criticize and throw darts at those that won. So you're going to see in this article that he talks about some of the issues that we raise, and he goes over the timeline. Mm-hmm. And these issues
were
raised
before
the election. That's exactly mm-hmm. right. And remind me, what was Leslie Hammett running for in that election?
Nothing.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we got that on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Okay, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, here are the details that I'm quoting Jerry again.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, here are the details that took place. The branch hired the same printer that does our newsletter to print our ballots, envelopes, etc.
Are you saying our newsletter?
That's what it says here.
But I thought he said that was a state newsletter.
You know, that's a funny thing, Michael, because in my arguments, in our appeals,
mm-hmm.
we say this serves as our newsletter.
Right.
And that's how the election rules should be interpreted.
Yes.
Because this is our newsletter for all practical purposes. Yeah, that is interesting that for as much as he pushed back against that,
saying that it's state newsletter,
not our newsletter.
Here it is right here. So many times. Yes.
Yeah. The branch hired the same printer that does our newsletter.
Wow. Now it's our newsletter.
Yeah. And this is a pattern that mm-hmm. I see with the author of this article, Jerry Penn.
Mm-hmm.
that when he makes decisions, when he makes rulings, mind you, he's the secretary. He shouldn't even be making these rulings. But when he makes rulings, they tend to be very conditional on what the circumstances are at the time. And like, you know, as regard to due process in Article 10, when you and I were being charged, Article 10 doesn't matter at all and due process doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. But then when the president was being charged, oh, you got to make sure you follow all this due process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the wildest thing. At the last meeting I attended, I called him out on it directly that, oh, it was when he tried to say that we weren't going to vote on the charges against the president. And I'm like, dude, you got to be kidding me. Like, the guy's been around long enough. He should know how this stuff works. And it feels very intentional.
Well, he said he's been around for 30 years, so he knows the process, and he knows how to go around the process.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's certainly what it seems. And so, again, here, when it suits him, he calls it our newsletter. Mm-hmm. Acknowledges that this is our newsletter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. The printing was done correctly, but the mailing of the ballots was a mess.
All right, I'm glad that he recognized that it was a mess.
Yep. Yeah, there's no denying that. Yeah. All right, going on. There is no need for me to rehash the problems as Sister Hammett did that in her article. We agree with that too. Mm-hmm. We found out afterwards that the wife of the printer who was in charge of the mailing passed away during this period, so we could not get the answers as to why things got messed up so badly in the mailings. So I have no reason to doubt that. That's, you know, maybe the person who we would ask was not around, but we do have direct evidence in the forms of like the order forms of what was ordered.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
And that's not mentioned.
So we were asking our election chair on this information.
Right.
Well, because we believe that he is the one who's ordering all the ballots.
Right, because it's the job of the election committee.
But but then when we found out, as everybody knows when we did the previous podcast, that it was our president who ordered the ballots.
Who was doing all of this, right.
So, of course, we're asking the wrong person.
It's feel like...
But why was the president touching the ballots? Then that's the problem.
Well, as he said in his defense, he didn't see a problem with it.
Yeah. We've been doing this for years.
Right. And yeah, it's funny because I'm pretty sure that at least some of those emails, he was CC'd on those emails. Mm-hmm. You know, plenty of people had plenty of opportunities to come forward and be honest about what was going on. Mm-hmm. It's a funny thing to stand up at the trial essentially and say, we didn't think we were doing anything wrong, but they made so much effort to hide it and to not answer questions and to not be forthcoming despite being directly asked
and that
before the election.
Right.
Yeah.
And that looks guilty.
Yeah. And they want to say that, oh, these people are just mad they lost the election. Even before the election happened, we were raising these issues because what we actually want, and it's proved by our fucking actions, what we actually want is for the branch to abide by the goddamn rules.
Yes. Well, wait a second. They won the election by Miss Whatever, okay? And our national retiree officer, Dan
Toth,
came and did
the swearing in.
And basically on the swearing in, and one of the things is that I will swear to uphold the rules, the Constitution, and the bylaws of our National Associate Letter Carriers.
Right, something like that.
Something like that.
And you presume that they made that same oath the last time they took office.
Exactly.
And yet here we are. Yeah, here we are.
They didn't follow a lot of
So moving on. Yeah, yes. Couldn't get the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, couldn't get the answers. All right, moving on. As the ballots started arriving to the members, all hell broke loose, especially by the opposing team. Now, Michael, did the ballots start arriving to members before or after the election is completed?
Oh, that would be before the election. It has to be before the election.
So we must just be sore losers.
Yeah.
Because,
how do we know that we were losing already?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's almost as if the narrative doesn't hold up and it's not self-consistent.
Right.
Yeah, isn't that something? All right, moving on. The election chairman immediately was inundated with questions and accusations, mostly by the opposing team.
Because we're asking him why all these misdelivering of all this
all these issues, right?
That was happening. We were asking him, and he didn't know the answers to because he didn't do it.
Yeah, it turns out it was being done by our branch president.
But he didn't want to admit that our president was doing it because why?
He could have easily told us.
Because the person that's running is not supposed to be touching the ballot.
Right, exactly. And so again, when would we have gone to the election chair and inundated him with questions? Is that before or after the voting?
Again, this is before the
voting.
This
is before the voting.
We're trying to correct the problem before the vote.
I got a quote again from the author here, Jerry Penn. Those that lose an election like to criticize and throw darts at those that won. We had not lost the election at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's like this narrative doesn't hold up.
Right.
But, okay. All right. So he was inundated with questions. Some, should I say, were not very nice. Even one of the opposing team members took to the airways on his podcast mm-hmm. to criticize and chastise and name call.
Oh, maybe because it was an opinion saying, well, no. When you don't answer our questions and yeah. we don't know what to do, so we're getting a little frustrated, and so we're talking about some of our opinions, and you don't like it. I'm sorry if you don't like it. You know,
in his
if
own
you're
narrative,
you're an officer and steward in our NALC. You're supposed to have some balls.
Well,
sorry, that's just right. my opinion.
Yeah, that's your opinion. That's mm-hmm. fine. In his narrative, who do we go to first with these issues?
Who do we go first with the person yeah. who's supposed to be in charge?
Yeah, that's right. Before, mm-hmm. even in his own narrative, mm-hmm. before we go on the podcast and start talking about it, we went
to this
the election
to
chair.
Ask this,
yeah.
Why is this happening?
Yeah, what's going on?
Because and then he said in the
he did.
The newsletter admitting saying that this was a total mess up.
Yeah. Yeah,
he
that's
said
right.
It.
He did.
So we're asking questions. Why yeah. is this all messed up?
Messed up so badly
uh-huh.
in the mailings. Right.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So there, you know, there
he
it is, right?
It was
in
messed
his own,
up.
Yeah.
We have the right to find out why it was messed
right.
up.
We
and
went
it was,
to the people who were supposed to be in charge
and,
of it.
Yeah. And they basically told us, be quiet and don't say nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we went to the podcast. And here, this is what hurts my heart. He doesn't say, Alan Gygax, host of the incredible postal podcast, Classes of Mail. He says some of the opposing team members took to the airways on his... Oh, one of the opposing team members took the airways on his podcast to criticize and chastise and name call. So, were we critical? Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were. And did we chastise? I think we did. You know, hey, you guys are not doing right.
Yep. Not by us, but not giving us any information.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
so there might have been some name calling because we got angry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so some of the name calling is because we're trying not to say people's names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like there's somebody in our branch who I refer to as the goodest, oldest boy because
mm-hmm.
it's a good old boy network and mm-hmm. he's pretty much at the head of it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's name calling. It's not a compliment.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm only using it because Corey Walton is using it to all those that type of people.
Sure. Right. It's a good old boy.
It's a good old boy club.
It's a good old boy.
It's easy
way
to explain to
all
these other people nationwide who's doing the same thing.
Right. That I called people, you know, this fucking guy or these motherfuckers mm-hmm. or whatever. I mean, dude, guilty as charged.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But again,
it's our opinion.
Well, and we tried to go to those people
mm-hmm.
first
yeah.
and get answers
mm-hmm.
and didn't get them.
So are we talking about their personal life?
No, only their official capacity
right.
in the duty that they're supposed to do.
Oh, so we're talking about their duty.
Yeah,
not
talking about their
life.
Duty.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep,
so
exactly.
So when we're cursing, we'll be cursing because they didn't do their duty right.
That is correct.
That we believe
yeah,
they didn't
we
do right.
Yeah, we kept it to
yeah, okay.
their
just
official capacity. Yeah. Yep. Okay, moving on. Charges were brought against the chairman and the president. The election chair, not wanting to deal with the nonsense, decided to step aside. A new chair then took over.
Now, this is before the election.
This is also mm-hmm. before the election.
Yeah.
All of this is before the election.
Yeah.
But he says that those that lose an election like to criticize and throw darts at those that won. We still haven't lost the election
not
at this
yet.
Point. Mm-hmm. No, it's almost as if we're just raising legitimate issues
mm-hmm.
that they're trying to avoid.
Yeah. And then the election chair resigned because we're asking all these questions and he didn't want to answer it. So
that's
the
right.
best way to not answer it is to resign.
Yeah, that is correct. Well, yeah. That's later. Okay, a new chair then took over. The branch was going to cancel the election at this point, but National informed us that we could not do that and needed to complete the election and certify it. It could then be appealed.
Now, on that, actually, I agree, because we did ask, and that's what
we
they told us that, too.
Yep, that is correct.
Yes.
Yep. All right.
Don't get me wrong, that's not what we wanted, but unfortunately, that is what they said.
It sucks because
mm-hmm.
we're up against Department of Labor rules,
mm-hmm.
right? And dude, I get it. These are the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And notice we didn't complain about that part
mm-hmm.
because that's the rules.
We found the rules.
And we respect
the
rules.
The rules.
Isn't
exactly.
that something? Yeah. Like it's it stinks because, like, what if your branch accidentally elected a giraffe?
And I kind of explain yeah. that, right? Where I said that we don't want to leave our NALC branch without no officers. So yeah, we have to have somebody in there in the meantime.
Right. And you can't serve for more than 3 years. And so we're up against that rule as well.
Right.
And so,
And
we
so
may not like it. But that shows our integrity.
Mm-hmm.
That we only complain about the things that actually broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So he said, goes on that it could then be appealed afterward, which is true. Okay.
And that's what we did too.
Yeah. And that's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
The author of this article, Jerry Penn.
Mm-hmm.
Members of the opposing team then appealed to the election committee. It's true, we did.
Mm-hmm.
The election committee voted to redo the election to include the nomination process.
Now, this part after the election.
Yeah, now it's after the election. Yeah. So all of this before, that was all before the election.
Now, we've presented all the stuff that happened in before the election to the election chair, the new election chair, because the other one didn't want to answer any questions and quit.
Right.
So now the new election chair is getting all the information why this was mishandled.
Yeah.
And then we informed all the election people.
Right.
Committee.
Yeah.
And what happened. And they voted.
Yeah. And isn't that something that the election chair who took over was cooperative and open.
But he was chosen by our president.
He was. And we'll get to that part in just a second. Yeah. So, yeah, he was cooperative. He was open. How many darts did we throw at that guy?
We've asked him everything.
Yeah. But throwing darts and like criticizing? No.
No.
That dude did a great job. Yeah. I mean, given the situation
he was put in. We didn't criticize and we didn't throw darts at him.
It's almost as if it depends.
No, we were just asking a lot of questions that he answered.
And dude, he did a yeoman's work.
And he answered as best to his knowledge.
Yes, he did.
And he, you know, emailed us with answers back, text us. And if we, you know, we use a text, he would answer us back. So he answered every question we asked.
Yeah, dude, he was great. Okay. He was great. All right.
And, and don't get me wrong. There was a lot of asked questions that we asked that he didn't know because.
That's true. Because we didn't know at the time that the president was doing this stuff rather than the election committee.
Right.
Yep. I mean, we knew the committee wasn't doing it, but All right. Yeah. So anyway. But we still assume that somebody outside the process. All right. So so as he writes here, the election committee voted to redo the election to include the nomination process. Many of us felt that the nomination process was completed without problems and therefore did not need a redo. Now, there are people who felt that way. There's no question. All right, we'll go on. The election committee decision was then appealed to the branch executive board. These are all the people who got elected.
Mm-hmm.
This is before they were installed. You're right. This is the old executive board. You're right. See, look at that. Stand corrected.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The executive board met and voted to redo the election, but not redo the nominations again, as we believe the nominations were okay, and it would give the opposing team, in our opinion, a second bite at the apple, as they say.
Well, okay. As we talked about earlier, saying that he's
Before we started recording.
Newsletter is our newsletter.
Yep.
And that's why we said, you know, in the bylaws and the Constitution, that actually says that it has been the front page on our newsletter.
Yes. So that was adjudicated by the National Committee on Appeals, and they decided that wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. You know, and you don't hear me making that argument anymore. Mm-hmm. But there were other issues in the nomination process.
Basically saying that it was past practice.
Yeah, it was past practice. And like Barner told me specifically over the phone that it hasn't been ruled on by the Department of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you should put it on the front page to make sure that you're good, but they haven't specifically said that it's not okay.
Right.
So, dude, and ever since that, you don't hear me making that argument anymore because I actually listen to reason.
Right.
Okay.
And then we had a member who wanted to be a steward and he was denied to be a
steward. Yeah, there were other issues.
And so,
The reason, were reasons that the nominations needed to be redone that he does not address here.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So, but the second bite at the apple. Now, that's an interesting one because the nominations are going to be redone. You guys already know this, dear listener. You've heard that we won at the National Committee on Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
The nominations are going to be redone. And so, we have an opportunity to do a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
We have the opportunity to put, like we had two opposition slates.
Mm-hmm.
We have the opportunity to maybe combine that into one opposition slate. We have the opportunity, like we had a couple people run unopposed, including the author of this article, Jerry Penn, Branch 2502 secretary.
So what? He's scared that somebody else is going to run against him?
Well, I can see why he wouldn't want that to happen, because he already won automatically. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, from his position, I certainly can see why he wouldn't want anybody to have the opportunity to run against him. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to that the whole mentality of keeping the notification minimal is... if you know you're going to run, you already know, mm-hmm. you know, so don't go out of your way to make sure other people know too, because that gives them a chance to take that first bite at the apple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want people doing that. This is conjecture, of course, mm-hmm. at what the motivation is, but there was certainly a pattern that emerged that even that first bite at the apple, you know, the good old boys ain't real stoked about even giving that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there is going to be a second bite at that apple, and we probably will modify some of the positions that we run for, some of the things that we do. There are some things,
some positions that that's currently in will be changed.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And there was also information that we had about what you could and could not run for that it turns out we were being misled, mm-hmm. and that may change things too.
Yeah.
So ultimately,
we gotta get that verification from.
Yeah, we do have to get a presidential ruling. I need to get on that.
Yeah.
So. We have the ruling from Barner, but it doesn't carry as much weight mm-hmm. as a ruling from Renfro.
Right.
So anyway, ultimately, the democratic process works best when the most people have access to it. Right. So the whole idea of saying, you know, this second bite at the apple, like, oh, somebody might run against me. What are you hearing? Oh, okay. Somebody might run against me. Dude, that's good for the democratic process. You know, that enables hopefully the best possible people to get into those positions. So, but of course I feel that way because I was on the other side of it, right? And at least I can acknowledge that. All right. So moving on after the second bite, the opposing team then appealed the executive board's decision to the branch members at the next general meeting. The members present at the general meeting, which was stacked by the opposing team, I might add, voted to override the executive board's decision and redo the elections and nominations again.
Well, that's funny because stacking.
Yeah.
How is that possible that we can stack when they're supposed to have over so many votes over us?
Right. So much more support.
Yeah.
Well, how we talked about this on Classes of Mail going mm-hmm. into these meetings. Like, you know, what are the ethics of that, of getting people out? Mm-hmm. And I said openly, like, dude, I would love to have every single member of the branch come mm-hmm. and vote on this. And I really think that those votes would go our way, because at every opportunity, working carriers who are actually putting mail in the box have voted for us mm-hmm. and have taken our position. And if getting more of those people to the meeting, the people who are affected most by these things, if that's stacking, then yeah.
So here's the thing is we went around and asked people to just come to the meeting. We didn't ask them to vote. We didn't ask them to do anything. And say, hey, it's important that you show up to the meeting.
Yeah.
That's all right. We said.
Yeah. There was a meeting that we actually had literature mm-hmm. and nowhere on there did it say mm-hmm. you should vote this way, you should vote that way.
And we didn't tell them to vote whichever way. We just told them to come to the meeting and do what you feel is right.
Yeah. Because honestly, I would not want to pressure somebody into voting against their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm wrong about at least some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't put that onto somebody else. No, you have to vote this way. No, that's bullshit. That's not okay.
We always ask anybody that we're asking, say, hey, just come here to the meeting.
Yeah.
And there's probably going to be some voting, and vote what you feel is right.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, for this issue specifically, mm-hmm. for the election, people already had opinions on it mm-hmm. because they were involved in it. They saw the mailer came messed up. A lot of people didn't even get ballots. Yeah.
And we weren't the only ones complaining. All the people
far from
like,
it.
Like our Leslie. And all she wasn't the one to complain. There was like at least 20, 30 people at my station alone complaining.
Right.
Because they didn't get the ballot.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, like when we brought charges against the election chair, mm-hmm. there was like 70-something co-signers on that.
And then, of course, the ballots came with pre-sort standard.
Yeah. Right.
And then I had a CCA, didn't know what stamps meant. Like, I'm like, do you know how not to mail these things? He's like, no.
Everybody,
here's a stamp for you so you can vote whichever way you want and mail it in.
Yeah, everybody could see these problems. Yeah. And dude, if the vote on this issue, mm-hmm. when the branch voted, 52-23. So mm-hmm. more than a two-thirds majority. We got like 70% voted to rerun it, including nominations.
And I'm telling you, when I looked at the people that was voting for this, uh-huh. there were some people that did vote for Paul on a lot of
right,
things.
Who normally vote with the status quo.
Yeah. No, yeah. So...
I don't think we're capable of stacking the hall with a two-thirds majority.
No.
Right. It could be that these are people's actual opinions.
Yeah.
Because let's look at this. The first people to make this decision was the executive board. Michael, mm-hmm. did we stack the executive board?
Nope.
No. Not. And we did not stack the executive board. In fact, who appoints the executive board?
Well, the executive
board. The election board. I meant the election board. Did we stack the election board?
No, we did not. The people
who
raised their,
the election board?
Well, the election board is picked
it's
by
essentially
people
volunteers.
Raising their hand.
Yeah, it's essentially
chose,
volunteers.
So people that raise right. their hand is what picked.
I wanted to make
but
the
it
point.
Is our president gets yeah. to pick the election chair.
Right. Oh, and how did that work out? Mm-hmm. But yeah, the point is, I wanted to make the point that they're appointed technically by the president. Mm-hmm. But dude, Michael, being fair, mm-hmm. credit to Michael. It's really just whoever raises their hand. Nobody mm-hmm. got denied, mm-hmm. except for I think there might have been, there was one person who was denied because they were actually running for a position. Mm-hmm. And I had to bring that to the attention mm-hmm. of the branch secretary.
Right.
So yeah. But the moral of the story is we can't stack that body.
Mm-hmm.
And they voted like 6-1 mm-hmm. to redo it, including nominations.
Right.
And so, dude, and then the branch got their chance to vote. 52-23,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to say, which was stacked by the opposing team, I might add,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and it went our way.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to the National Committee on Appeals. Michael, did we stack the National Committee on Appeals?
No, we did not.
No, we can't.
And here's the thing is, there was four people who sent the appeals in. That was our EVP.
Our Executive Vice President.
Executive Vice President. Our Vice President.
Mm-mm. Not the regular vice president. No, the treasurer.
Was
former
the treasurer?
Election chair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So EVP, treasurer, secretary, and
sergeant at arms.
Okay.
Right.
They all appealed against the decision of the branch.
Right. The branch spoke. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I made in my argument mm-hmm. was like regular rank and file members
mm-hmm.
who were on the election committee. They voted. They expressed their will. Right.
The election
carriers
also.
Just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And they 6-1 mm-hmm. to redo it, including nominations. Then when the branch got to vote, 52-23 to redo it, including nominations. So the will of the branch is clear.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly to your point, the next appeal, they were going against the will of the branch.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Our president is the one who wrote the response for the branch.
Right, because the branch spoke, and these people are going against the will of the branch.
Right.
And so, yeah, that dude decided
and
to write the branch's position.
Exactly. And what happened at the National Committee of Appeals?
Oh, they called it out of order because they could see it for what it was, because that dude wrote the branch's side of the story and threw the branch under the bus and just made the arguments for the executive board all
appeals.
Over again. Yeah, for the appeals, right. And did not stand up for the branch at all, did the exact opposite.
And so who sent the other?
I did.
Yeah.
I sent
who asked him to do it?
Yeah, Michael did. Yeah.
Because
and
I
Leslie
said that you
too.
Need to do it just to make sure that,
that the branch's voice
no
is heard.
Branch's voice is being said.
That's exactly right.
And so I said, you know, I know you are very articulate and you can write good letters. I said, hey, Alan, go ahead and send it in just in case there's a... there's no branch is being set.
Yeah. And it turns out that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they accepted my speaking for the branch and they ruled the president's out of order, which was, dude, out of order is putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so out of line to claim to speak for the branch and then throw the branch under the bus.
Yes.
It's unbelievable, but totally believable.
But going against the branch.
Yes. Going against the expressed will of the branch.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so that decision was then appealed by four members of the branch to the Committee on Appeals in Washington, which we did not stack.
Mm-hmm.
We are awaiting the answer to determine the next course of action required. So this was written before we had that answer.
We
presume
answer.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we know the answer.
Yeah.
They sided with us, and we're going to redo it, including nominations.
Right.
Then he goes on to say, needless to say, that decision could be appealed by either party to the National Convention in Los Angeles next year. And that's true. It can be.
But
in the meantime, we got to go forward. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
And then they can whoever loses, they can file an appeal to the national.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. So we move on. You know, all of this stuff. Only the actual appeal process happened after the election. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's us going through and actually respecting the process.
Yes.
And then the process going our
and
way.
Boy, was that hard, because they were trying to find tooth and comb to stop the appeals.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, right. And to rule our appeals out of order. Like one of my appeals, actually, they said came too early.
And I sent it as express mail with the receipt.
Right.
And yeah. So saying, oh, that's express is not certified.
Right. Right. They tried to deny it for that. It's a funny thing how they only know what the rules are half the time.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. And dude, you're hearing it live that when the rules aren't in our favor, hey man, those are the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way we are where the rules are concerned. So moving on, we're almost to the end.
You talked about abuse of power too, huh?
I did talk about that in my abuse of power
episode.
Sounds
very similar.
Yeah, dude, that's weird how that works. Okay, moving on. As to the opinion of Sister, this is now quoting from the author of the article, Jerry Penn, Branch 2502 Secretary. As to the opinion of Sister Hammett that the branch members are disgusted and that there is anger and dissension within our branch is simply not true.
Oh, it's very true.
Yeah. This is written by a retiree who comes to the Union Hall from time to time, but I don't see him in stations very often unless he's in their Hawken uniforms.
Right.
I don't think he quite has the pulse of the branch the way people actually on the workroom floor have it.
He hasn't delivered mail in like 30 years.
Yeah, that too. Right, he's been a branch officer for 30 years. Right, right. So I don't know how many branch members he's talking to who are actually out there dealing with the real world issues of the branch. But to say, he says, I'll say again, that the branch members are disgusted and that there's anger and dissension within our branch is simply not true. Dude.
Well, we're one of those.
Yeah. You're hearing anger and dissension right now.
Uh-huh.
So you can't say that it's not true. Well, he goes on to say there are five or six members that like to create the disgust, dissension, and anger. Yeah. By asking that the bylaws be fucking respected.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Constitution be respected.
Yeah, there's five or six, but that's because we're more outspoken than some others.
Right.
But there's a lot of people who don't speak out, and they are unhappy that we're speaking for them.
Okay. They're unhappy and we're speaking for them. Right, right. Yeah,
and that's so exactly what he's saying is not true. He's saying there are people very angry at what's going on with our branch.
Yeah, come
so
to my
he
station.
Is wrong.
Ask ask around how stoked people are with our branch leadership.
My station too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, in fact, go to Westridge and ask them how stoked they are. Go to Sunrise, ask them how stoked they are.
Yeah, go to Spring Valley.
Yes.
I can guarantee you right now, people are extremely unhappy at Spring Valley.
Yeah. Dude. And for him to accuse us of spreading misinformation, and he says, as to the opinion of Sister Hammett that the branch members are disgusted and that there is anger and dissension within our branch, is simply not true. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying here is, this is a matter of fact, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
What he's saying is wrong.
Yeah, and the reason that we want 52 to 23 on that vote is because there are a lot of people that's not happy.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, if those people would have never shown up if they were not happy at all.
Dude, and even among the executive council or the executive board of our branch, they wanted the election redone too.
Mm-hmm.
Are we responsible for them being unhappy? I don't think so. That's, you know, that again is dissension going against, oh, we'll just keep the status quo. Even they recognize that we got issues. Dude, even at the front, he calls it the dirty laundry from Branch 2502. Even he acknowledges that we got these issues.
But then at the end, he goes, that's not true.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody's it's not true.
Nobody's upset about him except these five or six people. And he goes on, they like to send text messages to their friends to show up at the meetings to vote, many not even knowing what the issues are, so that they create chaos at the meeting in an attempt to get their little victories.
Well, you know what? Nobody knows what's going to happen at the meeting.
Yeah, why is that, Michael?
Because nobody's notified in what's all the newsletter.
What's on the agenda
or what's in the agenda. We don't get any of that. The only ones that know what's going to happen at the meeting is the officers themselves.
Yeah, that is correct.
So when we show up, we don't know what's going to happen. That's because I don't know what's happening either.
Right. Yeah, that is correct. And, you know, a little pejorative here, our little victories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, compared to the election, it is a small victory. We take what we can get. But this is the voice of the branch. And to once again, what have we asked for? What have we insisted on that's not in the bylaws? Nothing.
Yeah.
Everything that we're asking for is that.
And here's the thing, too, is you know, if they were following the rules and they were actually fighting for carriers, we wouldn't be doing all that stuff.
That is exactly right. Yeah. I would much rather be just cruising along.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yep. Absolutely. So yeah, we just get our friends to show up at the meetings and not even knowing what the issues are. It's as many not even knowing what the issues are. Dude, at that meeting where the president was up for on his charges, the people on our side, they knew damn well what the issues were, but they were sitting next to other people who were like, I don't know, I'm just here to support the president. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what was actually happening out on the meeting floor.
And they didn't even know what they were supporting for.
Yeah.
For the president.
Right. And they were
so they voted for the president, not knowing what they're voting
and
for.
And not being able to follow what was going on. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And the reason they don't know even throughout the meeting is because when all the charges were being brought, they were very quiet about it, or they made it very simple words where they would say this charge, but then they're saying, oh, we're not going to say they're guilty, so they won't say what they broke the rules on.
We've just gone all over that.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of the issue is there's not a good communication method mm-hmm. for our branch, mm-hmm. and that's by design. It would be very easy to put together an email list, a functioning website, any of those things. Branch ain't interested in that. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah, because we just want a branch that's also be transparent, and we want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And everything is just shut down, and they just try to hide as much as they can. And that's why it's the problem.
Which is also, like, to go back to the point we made earlier, why the original election chair caught hell from us mm-hmm. and got all these, you know, questions.
Because he was hiding something. Yeah,
there's two ways to deal with it. Mm-hmm. When he got asked questions, he stonewalled. Mm-hmm. When the replacement election chair got asked questions, he tried his best to answer them. Mm-hmm. And which one of those two caught hell from us? The one who was stonewalled.
And the person that we were asking to, you know, which is the election chair about what's going on with the election.
Yeah.
And his response was, don't harass me.
Right. Exactly. Now,
and it's you know what did we do when we got that email?
We stopped contacting him completely. Yeah. We did exactly as he asked. We did
exactly what he asked.
That's right. Exactly. And here's the funny thing, because as he says in the beginning, those that lose an election like to criticize and throw darts. It was the second election chair who was in charge when we lost. How many darts did we throw at him? None.
We just asked questions.
Yeah. So.
And then the narrative doesn't hold up. Appeal from us.
Yeah.
And he saw all the appeals, not just from us.
No, that's true. There were multiple appeals. Yes. Yeah. It was mine that they wound up accepting and voting on, or mm-hmm. the one from our team. Mm-hmm. But regardless, yeah, we were not the only ones mm-hmm. who, yeah, isn't that something?
And there was, I think, what, 5, 6 appeals?
Not sure.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many of them came from the good old boys. Seeing all these problems, it's funny how none of them appealed and said, like, hey, this is really messed up. Yeah. We should redo this.
Yeah, they didn't appeal that.
What a coincidence.
But they did agree to redo the election.
They did. Mm-hmm. They did. Yep. So, all right, moving on. Final paragraph here.
Well, they agreed to redo the election because they know how they're going to do it again.
Well, not this time. It will be overseen by national. Not this time, because
now that we found out what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So hopefully our national
all right.
be more honest.
Last paragraph. I will acknowledge, as with any branch, there are some problems that need to be resolved.
That is true.
All right. Yep. Fair. We are in total agreement on that. And there is a roadmap for how to resolve these problems. And it's the bylaws. And the NALC Constitution and the rules governing branch election procedures.
Except good old boys like to change it around into their favor.
Well, regardless, if they started doing, and they have started doing that to some degree.
Some degree,
like, yes. There's an episode, I'm not sure if it'll release before or, well, it'll probably release after this now, so I'm not going to spoil the ending for that one. But there we have seen them. It's starting to take effect, and they're starting to abide by the bylaws.
You already put it up.
Not the one about the bylaws committee.
Oh,
that one isn't published yet. Okay. Yeah, and I think I'm going to push that one back a little bit.
Yeah, the one I'm talking about is when I said,
about the last meeting that they were
using the warrants.
Right, right. Yeah, getting stuff paid properly because then we're going
to
complain.
You don't want to get people to file charges.
Right, and guess what, dude? When they did it properly, how hard did you complain about it?
None at all.
Isn't that something? It's almost like we're telling the fucking truth when we say we want the bylaws, you know, respected. Yeah, to be followed. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. With the sudden passing of Glenn Norton, things done in the past 19 years need some adjustments.
Well, I'm glad he's agreeing to that.
Yeah, right.
Because our president was standing there saying that I've been doing this for all these years. Right. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, these are the people who keep saying, this is the way we've always done it, as if it's a defense when it's actually an indictment. Yeah, this is the way we've always done it. Yeah, that's the problem. And you're admitting to ignoring the bylaws for all this time. That's a fucking indictment. That is not a defense.
Yeah, and that is the reason why people like me and you are coming out, because we're kind of getting done with them breaking the rules.
Yeah. And then just, oh, this is the way we've always done it. And I mean, how many times has this author specifically, authored by Jerry Penn, Branch 2502 Secretary, I've been doing this for 30 years. I think I know what I'm doing. And then we look at the bylaws, and that's not the way it's done.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's been doing it wrong all these years.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then finally, last sentence, let's hope we can get some harmony between the factions and get our problems fixed. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, all it takes to get into harmony with us is follow the bylaws.
Yep.
Yep. And the Constitution and the election, you know, whatever. Do what you're actually supposed to do.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, we're pretty easy.
I'd like to think. Dude.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
We are stewards and so forth. That we are fighters.
We are fighters.
And so when you're coming after us and things like that, we're going to fight back. We're not going to just sit down and get stepped on.
Right. All right, dude, we are past 45 minutes, so I think that's going to do us for today. How about this, reading from actual paper? Isn't that something? It's so old-fashioned. Of course, there is no electronic version of that newsletter, and I cannot find our state association bylaws anywhere. They don't have a website. I guess I'm just going to have to email.
Well, the state convention is next week, and we can ask the state president
for
the bylaws.
Yeah, there you go.
In person.
Now I like the way you're thinking. All right. So I think that'll do us for today. So we read the article. We gave proper credit because we're supposed to. And dude.
And it is our opinions.
Yeah, of course.
And voicing our opinions.
Right. Right.
Okay? Take it however it is.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, now this just further shines a light on this is what we're up against. This is what we're dealing with. This is the narrative that's being put out there. This is what's being said from the bully pulpit. And this is what we're pushing back against on Classes of Mail. And for Christ's sake, guys, if those of you in the, you know, because I know that they listen to this podcast at least a little bit, say Classes of Mail, man, do me that solid.
You know they're never going to do that.
No, that, I'm sure that's true. Mm-hmm. But dude, even without that, we're over, well over now, 150,000 downloads. And so that's pretty cool, man. Good work.
Mm-hmm.
Good work, us. Good job, Michael. Yep. Most popular guest. Michael Brazenly, only because Annie can't get on the mic. Yeah. All right. So that'll do us for today. Guys, thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you next time.